From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on August 5th, 2024, from South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. On this episode of The Lead, we have the latest developments from the campaign trail, including Vice President Kamala Harris becoming the first female woman of color to be nominated to lead a major party. We have fundraising numbers and more.
Data.
Senator Lindsey Graham was on Fox News Sunday this weekend with some hot takes. We'll get you in a moment. And we have some economic news for you. Everyone is freaking out over some economic data that they've been waiting for, and now it's here, and now they're freaking out. It's also August. Welcome to the slowest part of the year. So we have a programming note. We are still experiencing summer hours here at The Lead. Like I said, it's August, so it's not the busiest time of the news cycle, but needless to say, we'll still be bringing you as much as we can, but there will only be one episode this week. That is today's episode. But The Lead wants to hear from you. That's why we have a voicemail box set up at 803-563-7169. Give us a shout. Give us some hot takes. We have quite the wind down today. We don't have a voicemail on the wind down, but we got some hot takes that we want you to weigh in on. Listen to that and then give us a shout at 803-563-7169. All right, here's a look at the week. The governor is in emergency management mode following the formal state of emergency declaration that he made on Sunday ahead of the effects of Tropical Storm Debby. We'll have more about that in a moment, but expect some substantial, possibly historic rainfall to hit the state, specifically the coast and Midlands. So guys, be aware out there, be ready. SCEMD.org is your go-to website for all the information you need to know to stay safe. Up in D.C. in Congress, the House is out, as is the Senate. And of course, the race is still on to fund the federal government by October 1st, so get ready for that one come this fall. And on the 2024 campaign trail, Vice President Kamala Harris has a whirlwind campaign tour this week that features stops in 8 states over 5 days, covering more than 4,700 miles. This, according to Punchbowl News. I'm sure she'll have her running mate with her.
Interesting.
Stay tuned. And former President Donald Trump will be in Bozeman, Montana on Friday. On the Sunday shows, we saw Senator Lindsey Graham was on Fox News Sunday, where he had this to say following the prisoner swap last Thursday of 24 prisoners between the U.S. and Western allies and Russia.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've got a cycle here. You have trumped up charges against Americans. You accuse them of things they didn't do. You put them in jail, and you only release them when we have to release Russian spies and killers. Yeah, this cycle needs to stop. Absolutely. And this, you know, all I can say is I don't think Russia would have invaded Ukraine on Trump's watch, and I don't think we'd have the Mideast on fire if Trump were still president. Iran is running wild. So the source of all these problems is weakness. People believe America is weak, and they're taking advantage of us.
Senator, in October of 2020, though, Trump facilitated the release of 250 Houthi rebels from Oman in exchange for 2 Americans and the remains of a third that were held in Yemen by Iranian-backed militants. So how is that any different than what President Biden did this week?
Well, what we've done is we've released killers and thugs all over the world in Western custody. And we've, you know, Russia charges Americans with crimes they didn't commit, foreign nationals a crime they didn't commit. They asked for their people to be released who are spies and thugs and killers. It's completely different. So what I would say about the Houthis, when President Trump was president, not one missile was fired at American ships in the Red Sea. When Trump was president, Israel was not attacked, killing more Jews than any time since the Holocaust. When President Trump was president, Russia did not invade Ukraine. When President Trump was president, you didn't have enough fentanyl coming across the border to kill everybody in the entire world. There's a lot of differences between the Trump presidency, Biden, and Harris.
Now, those were some unsubstantiated claims there at the end by Graham. There is no way to say that these countries would not have definitively acted the way they did just because Trump was no longer president. Now, Graham also had this message for Trump when asked about his remarks regarding Vice President Kamala Harris's racial background. and Trump reigniting a feud with Georgia Governor Brian Kemp on Saturday with a Truth Social post where he said Kemp should be, quote, fighting crime, not fighting unity in the Republican Party, quote. When Trump took the stage in Atlanta shortly thereafter, Trump doubled down, calling Kemp, quote, a bad guy, he's a disloyal guy, and he's a very average governor, quote. Now, all of this is stemming from Trump losing Georgia in 2020 to President Joe Biden. Yes, Trump is blaming his loss on the governor. Here's Graham's advice to Trump on the critical battleground state of Georgia.
I think, Mr. President, this is your election to lose. It's important you win to reset a broken border and get the world in good order. The American people are looking to have their problems solved. I think your presidency was an incredible presidency for national security and prosperity. As to Georgia, Georgia is there for the taking. I think Governor Kemp was a great governor, lowering taxes, less regulation. I think if you voted for Kemp and you want to vote for Harris, that makes no sense. I'm hoping that President Trump and Governor Kemp can repair the damage to win Georgia, a state if we win, we're going to go that we're well on our way to winning 270 electoral votes. If we lose Georgia, it could be a very long night. So let's win this election. How about that? Let's win an election we can't afford to lose.
Biden won Georgia by 11,779 votes in 2020. Those are the facts, folks. Now, let's rewind a little bit to when Trump had a beautiful call with Secretary of State Brad Raffensperger. And he said, quote, I just want to find 11,780 votes, which is one more than we have, quote. That was what Trump said during that conversation, according to a recording first obtained by the Washington Post at the time. Trump has since been indicted in Georgia for such efforts in attempting to overturn the election. But that case remains on hold. Sticking with the campaign trail, in a historic move, Vice President Kamala Harris became the Democratic presidential nominee on Friday afternoon, after securing the needed delegate votes from the Democratic National Committee. She is the first black woman and first South Asian woman to become the nominee for a major U.S. political party. While the formal nomination process typically happens at the convention, the DNC doesn't kick off until the week of August 19th, and ballot deadlines for certain states like Ohio will be here before then. As of our taping, Harris has not announced her running mate, but media reports cite Tuesday as the big day. So again, there's no big primetime reveal for the Dems like the Republicans did for Ohio Senator J.D. Vance, but expect a full court press right out of the gate as Harris continues to crisscross the country to major swing states in a bid to keep that momentum going, and so far, there is no sign of that slowing. Just look at her 10,000-plus person crowd in Atlanta last week. Of course, it didn't hurt to have Megan Thee Stallion performing there for that crowd. A bit of a change from the Lee Greenwood and Kid Rocks of the RNC. And we just saw July fundraising numbers come out, and Harris raised nearly double what Trump pulled in. This all comes from new donors, too. We're talking about some two-thirds of those July donors were brand new, many giving $200 or less, which is a huge advantage for Harris to keep reaching out to small donors with less than 100 days till Election Day. The campaign also saw big grassroots fundraisers like black women and black men, as well as white women and white dudes for Harris, and Latinas for Harris as well. All told, Harris brought in more than $310 million last month. That's dwarfing Trump's $137 million. The Democratic campaign has $377 million in cash on hand. That's $50 million more than the Trump campaign, according to Politico. That July haul propelled the campaign account for Harris to the $1 billion mark for the cycle. Speaking of money and data, everyone is freaking out over the stock market tumbling as a result of cooling labor numbers. That's right, there are concerns about a slowing American economy. Remember, everyone's been waiting for this slowdown, which was prompted by higher rates to calm inflation? Well, apparently one bad jobs report and everyone is losing it.
Oh no!
That's right, the U.S. economy only added 114,000 jobs last month, according to the Department of Labor, which was below expectations.
Bad!
That moved the unemployment rate up to 4.3%, its highest level in nearly 3 years.
Terrible!
There have been major stock sell-offs around the world and some lackluster tech news that has also weighed heavily on the tech-fueled stock market that, let's be honest, was a bit overblown. Everyone just needs to chill out and buy the dip, okay? It's a buyer's opportunity right now. Of course, now investors think that the Federal Reserve has moved too slow in cutting interest rates to combat stubborn inflation, which has been slowly coming down, just not fast enough. However, it's clear now that there will definitely be some rate cuts coming at the September meeting, as well as at the November and December meetings, totaling possibly 1.25 percentage points overall before the year is out. So stay tuned for that. And a friendly reminder that about a week ago, everyone was raving about the strong economy, because it is strong. Second quarter GDP came in at 2.8% annualized. So prices are easing and growth is still robust. Doesn't sound like a hard landing to me. Sounds like the jobs market is finally doing what investors have been clamoring for years. And on the way out, some serious news. Y'all, please be prepared for a dangerous few days in South Carolina with record rainfall and flooding expected for our state as a result of Tropical Storm Debbie. Debbie kind of just popped on up out of nowhere, and she's coming for South Carolina. Parts of the state, especially the coast and the low country, are expecting rainfall that we have not seen before, including our most recent downpours from the 2015 floods and Hurricane Florence in 2018. This will lead to major flooding and river flooding if it pans out the way that forecasts are looking. SCETV and South Carolina Public Radio will have the latest for you online and over the air. And also check out scemd.org for the latest. Welcome to the wind down section, our little break from the news. We're glad you're here, and we have a few folks here with us today. We, of course, A.T. Shire, the producer of the South Carolina League
podcast. Of course, thank you, yes.
And we also have Mayon Schechter. Mayon.
Of course. I'm
well,
here.
Of course.
Well, she's always there, but she's her mic's on.
She's always watching.
Right. Yes. I'm always right through the window.
Yes.
She's grimacing.
She's looming.
Rolling her eyes. Yeah. Pounding the glass.
I know how to run this show.
We all know that. Even the listeners know that. Anyway, Mayon, you're not here.
The unseen hand.
You're not here for no reason, okay?
We're the man behind the curtain.
In lieu of callers, we have Mayon here. Oh. And a big weekend in Colombia, right? So we had two, what is it, Premier League soccer clubs? On our pitch at Williams-Brice. I don't know. So there's a lot of
You're
soccer.
You're definitely going to get some hate calls next week.
I'm going to call and hate.
I'm fine with that. Hate me all you want. So on the pitch. So Mayon, you were there and you have some thoughts, okay? Go ahead.
I do. Let me start off with the high points. Okay. It was a great game.
It was cool.
It was an amazing crowd.
Watched it on TV.
Pageantry was amazing.
Mm-hmm. The pitch looked great.
People love fireworks. Mm-hmm. It's a crowd pleaser. But you know what's not a crowd pleaser?
Mm.
The wave. And I want to talk about this. I want to talk about this because...
We want you to talk.
They're coming for me.
I texted you from the stands and I said, this has got to stop. This is a national emergency.
We're talking about the wave that happens at arenas and sports stadiums around our beautiful country. I dare I say the world.
It waves like the waves of grain
moment for Americans and global citizens alike, you know, a way for us to show off to our international brethren that, hey, we can unite together. We can stand up in unison when the time comes.
Okay.
But we should
wave
not.
Our hands. Why?
We should not. Let me start from start to finish here. Okay.
So stand this up,
is,
sit down.
This is what I witnessed. Okay. My own eyes saw this.
Mine own eyes.
A group of mostly, it started off with kids, and then, of course, the adults joined in, and they tried to do the wave once, and it didn't really work. It sort of took off a little bit through my section, but it wasn't a hit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They tried a second time.
Mm-mm.
Did not work. They tried a third time, which included lifting up one of the kids into the air to scream at everybody, 1, 2, 3, didn't work. I'm pretty sure they tried the wave at least a dozen times.
No.
And that's where it ends for me. That's where my sense
of unison,
it ends.
If it doesn't catch, stop trying to make it catch, okay? That goes for more things than just the wave. If it's not working, don't force it.
Right.
We are not going to put a square peg into a round hole.
Right. And AT, we did some research on the wave.
Correct.
We did some expansive expansive. We our databases, we put them
What's
together.
What's the success rate here?
Not great. Actually, we found out that the wave is actually pretty young.
It was created in 1981
by
Crazy with a K, Bob Henderson.
And if you saw photos of this man, you'd say that man did a good wave.
That guy created the wave.
I'm going to go ahead and say R.I.P. Bob, right?
Alive.
Oh, God. Congratulations, Bob.
80 years old.
Bob, please call in.
Yeah, please call in.
I'm sorry that I dead named you.
Yes, yes.
I think I'm using that right.
But it seems. Oh God!
Did you just get it?
No, I got it the whole time.
I had to cut that.
But it seems, based on the photos, that Bob had something different than anybody else had. One, clearly the passion for the wave.
Of course.
But two, a drum. He had a prop. And I think that may make a world of difference, because then you can get more people beyond your own section interested. I just think that the kids was one thing, you know, and you can't tell a child to sit down.
God, that's
but when the adults... When the adults were participating and turning around and pointing, you stand up.
Yeah,
you stand up.
I'm against that behavior. Do not, again, like I said, force the wave.
Right.
If it comes naturally and you see it coming, like, okay, let's all try and give our best effort a couple times here. But right. If it doesn't take off, I mean, I think it has to come from like a big goal, a touchdown, something like that has to really prompt it. And going back to the whole point of having some sort of unifying moment there, if you've been to Willie B,
yeah,
affectionately known. And if you've seen Sandstorm, I mean, I've seen it from way up top. And
yeah,
when
it's
everyone's
awesome.
Waving their white flags, their white towels, it goes, it's insane. It's just something you've never seen before. So if you get the wave like that,
right.
One thing. Oh, so at least I got to see what
that's
like.
But you would have thought that would have been it. Like, you had that
moment.
They need
more? You need more?
How much more do we need? Yeah.
Exactly.
Right. Let's just enjoy Sandstorm. The wave, maybe not meant for Williamsburg.
If the wave doesn't catch, it is such a law of diminishing returns.
Yes.
You know?
Absolutely.
And
don't yell at me. Don't point and yell at me to do the wave.
Gavin made a point last night or Saturday over when we were texting about this where he said, the wave hits different inside versus outside, which I think is a fun distinction to play with.
In a sports arena, like a kind of like a hockey match.
Hockey,
perhaps.
Basketball. Yeah, one of those.
But, I mean, when it's done right, it's a thing of beauty.
I don't quite like it. Nothing is worse. If you're ever at a concert and people try to clap.
I was going
to
say, it's like a forced clap.
No one can clap on beat, okay? And so they're always off, and I complain about it every time, and I always get strangers next to me where they're like, oh, don't get mad. And then by the end, they're like, okay, yeah, no one can clap along.
No, it's terrible.
They mess up.
It's and terrible.
So head over hand, the hands over the head clap. Oh, can't. I'm doing it right now.
It's these people that want to get involved, you know, where you're just like, you're at the game. Cheer.
Right, enjoy it. Yeah. Enjoy it.
You don't need to do anything else.
And you know, another part of what we research is the wave is typically done during a lull in the game.
Yeah.
I would like to make the point clear that not only was the game going on when they tried this multiple times, but at one point there was an injury. We were watching medics respond to someone on the field, and they chose to continue to doing the wave. And
huge
I thought,
no.
this is a national emergency. Security, where are you? Where
God,
are you?
Take these children out of here.
William Bryce, work on it.
Like,
get William on the phone, please.
Yeah. Where is William Bryce?
William Bryce.
Where is he?
Get him on the phone, please.
Hey, look, an injured player. Let's celebrate.
Yeah,
by doing the wave.
Yes.
Right.
No.
So it's time to end this national celebration. Again, I want to get behind it, but I cannot.
You're making great points. I agree with these points.
I'm just not that way, you know? Like, I don't have the joy inside my body to do
it. I think we're dark people.
Thank you.
Okay, hypothetical. If a wave is happening, it's massive. Everyone's participating, and it's like it's coming around. You're seeing it. It's like, oh, it's so beautiful. The wave comes to your section, specifically your seat. Are you standing up, or are you going to just sit there and let it pass you by?
I probably will let it pass by. If Rena was with me, I would do it for the child.
I love, thank God for Rena.
Like Simba,
you'll just move her. You're not going to stand up. You're just going to move your hands up.
If Rena was there, I would do honestly, if the game was occurring, if this was a lowless wave,
sure.
I would stand so I could see.
Yes.
Okay? But I maybe preemptively stand because I knew it was coming.
Do they do it at Eagles games?
I don't know. No.
I can't
no,
see
they
that.
Just like
I
punch each other
Eagles.
In unison.
I can't see Eagles fans.
We're so dialed into what's going on and being angry about what's on the field that we're not trying to pass time. We're not trying to kill time
with
the kids.
You know what would be a really interesting experiment? The next time an Eagles player goes down on the field, start the wave and see if that works.
What are you doing?
We would get tossed.
What are you doing? This guy's trying to get the wave?
No, I don't think the Eagles need it. We're good, okay? Just
leave it there.
We're We're miserable enough. We don't need to make it any more cheery in the building. It's not about cheer. It's about being the angriest you're going to be all week. Right.
Group anger.
And I have to imagine, Liverpool won 3-0. Liverpool. If you're a Manchester United fan, it was probably not a great game for you. And to see people doing the wave while you're miserable.
Insult to injury. Insult to injury.
There's always someone on the back end of the wave. But even the people that aren't happy are doing the wave because they're together.
Ugh. Ugh.
Let's do it together.
But don't do it yet. Don't do
it. Mayan starting it. I'll do it. We did
it. She's doing it for the middle out.
We did it. Okay. Anyway, thank you, Mayan. Thank you, Gavin. Just like the wave, this section must end.
Stay dry out there, folks. We're talking about a different wave coming to our state.
Yes. A literal wet wave. Please. Be safe. Take care. Have your go bags ready. Don't drive through moving water.
Guys, please.
There we go. Gavin.
Turn around. Don't drown.
Hit the outro.
Give us a shout at 803-563-7169. Let us know your thoughts on the wave. Clapping in unison with folks, or maybe, you know, not in unison. All the things that happen at concerts or live situations. We want to know your cringy moments and things that you like and don't like. 803-563-7169. You can always stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. The South Carolina Lead is a production of South Carolina Public Radio. Our producer is A.T. Shire. Amy Crouch is our supervising producer. Sean Birch is our executive producer. This podcast is produced with support from PRX and is made possible in part by a grant from the John S. and James L. Knight Foundation, as well as listener contributions to the ETV Endowment of South Carolina. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Oh, you need like a jingle. Summer hours with Gavin and AT.
It's summertime.
That's right, yes.
Awful!